to Jesus.
That's Ginger Milliman and Come Ye Sinners, Poor and Needy. And it's precisely 12 minutes past the hour on a Broken Road Radio Thursday morning. David Allen Punt is in the house. I'm here. I'm Jim Park. And Gisele Sorley, our resident Norwegian, good friend of the station, family wealth counselor, and certified financial planner on the line with us, too, from Alexandria, Virginia. In your office today, huh, Gisele?
Yeah, good morning. I'm in the DC swamp
today. Yeah, I drove through there a couple of weeks ago. You're right.
did you make it to Virginia?
We did, and we had well, you know Doug Greenwald coming through. We stopped, had lunch at his place with he and Nancy, and then he warned us, he had stay away from that Washington D.C. area. He gave us directions around it, but I don't care how far around it you go, you're still loaded with traffic. I could not believe that coming from East Dakota. That was quite a load, you know.
Yeah, down 495 is rough.
Yeah. I thought of you all the way through Virginia. We saw the sign on the highway that said Tyson Corner, and that's right near you there.
Yeah.
But you weren't there. You were off in upstate New York. How'd that go?
I was on a road trip myself.
Yeah.
I was up in Boston and Cape Cod.
No, the whole deal, huh?
Syracuse, New York.
That was a pleasure trip. Vacation, was it?
Yeah, family
okay.
Road trip.
So. Good. I hope you had a nice time.
11 days in a row with ice cream, the boys count.
Oh. Okay.
Oh, it was a good trip.
Well, back to the gym now, huh?
That's right.
Okay. All right. You sent us an article last week, and it came in, and I said, whoa, this is a little long. I'll wait till later to read it. And I wish I'd have read it right then, because I've been thinking about it ever since I have read it. This is a powerful idea that I have not heard before. Mm. And I'll just summarize it, and then maybe you can give us the, and one of the things I'm looking for is you know, on one of the websites, when I read this article, it had a little biography of the author there. On this particular page, it doesn't, so I don't even have his name. And David, maybe you found that perhaps, but it's on the eventidefunds.com website, and it's entitled Business, Brexit, so the British exit from the EU, and the Precariat. Now, the Precariat is a name they made up, a combination of two words, precarious and electorate, I guess, are the two words. I think they mentioned that in the article. And it forms a new class of thinker, voter, political force in the world, and they're all angry. And the question is, why? What's creating this atmosphere?
Precarious and proletariat.
Proletariat, okay. Now, you know the word proletariat from your high school studies of Karl Marx. Mm-hmm. And that that lower economic class that is victimized by capitalism. And this, but this article is not a communist article. This is not advocating any such thing. It's trying to find a reason why so many people are angry out there and disadvantaged. Can you give us a little lead-in on this, Gisele?
Sure. The author's name is Tim Weinholt, mm-hmm. By the way. And he sits out in the state of Washington and ponders issues of faith and business. And very insightful and clever.
Is this his website?
Yeah, he works for a company called Eventide, which is an investment firm.
Okay. So
he's basically on the payroll just to educate and inform investors mm-hmm. about faith and business issues.
Now, are those guys in Boston or in Omaha?
They're in Boston. That's the headquarters.
Yeah. Okay.
I did a quick Google search, and I found an Eventide's in Omaha.
Yeah, the company's sort of vision is to invest in companies that have biblical worldview and, you know, want to do good as well as make profits.
Mm-hmm. Hence your acquaintance with them. Have you worked with Tim at all?
I haven't worked directly with Tim, but I've utilized their mm-hmm. funds and stuff.
Okay. Well, just to put this thing in a nutshell, the basic premise is that for the past 40 years, business, the business community, the economic community in the U.S., or all of really the West, because he considers the European continent in the same bailiwick, has turned its attention from making product and hiring people and improving their market position to concentrating instead on improving profits for shareholders. And to the exclusion, what that suggests to me is that if they're manipulating product and sales and expenses and everything to dress up the bottom line in order to sell shares or affect the market, they're not necessarily paying attention to the basic mission of the company, which would be to produce a quality product and market it in the right way to the right people.
Yeah,
is that logical?
Yeah, no, his thesis is really that the focus over the last 25, 30 years has been so much on maximizing shareholder value that we forgot the people mm-hmm. involved and the
like employees,
salaries, yeah. and then the net worth of middle-income families has decreased drastically, and you see the gap between wealthy and poor is increasing dramatically in this country, and that's the issue is in like countries like Venezuela and other places. Mm-hmm. That's the problem. You have a few really controlling massive amounts of wealth, and then you have poverty.
Do you think if we look at Venezuela, that's us, unless we do something in 20, 30 years?
I think
similar forces
at work. A little
bit
of a different situation, but the similar type of
mm-hmm.
issues at play. So.
If one of the existing presidential candidates gets elected, yeah, Venezuela's on the list.
Yeah.
If the other one gets elected, it's not on the list.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one interesting statistic is 62 of the wealthiest individuals now own as much as the entire bottom half of the world's populations.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and those facts are not disputed by anybody. I mean, both Republicans and Democrats are looking at those same figures and saying, we got to fix that. Of course, they have different solutions. And to me, it's that dissatisfaction that many of us are feeling, those of us who consider ourselves middle class and of course, the poorer classes, whatever they are, whatever you call them, you know, poverty people, are worse yet because stuff isn't trickling down anymore.
Yeah.
And there are different...
Henry IV, he was much wiser. He made sure he paid his workers well and enough so they could each buy their own car.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. And now we're looking at a lot of middle-class people working hard for a company, and they can't afford to buy their own product anymore. But we seem to recognize that, and it's causing a lot of unrest, apparently. And we're seeing that around these two political conventions, and the campaign is bound to focus on this. There are different kinds of solutions, but I have not heard this particular idea proposed that it's because business itself probably, and I'll put this out and let you shoot it down or support it, in collusion with government are doing this. I mean, the government is the one that makes it so expensive to hire somebody. Maybe it's easier just to manipulate stock prices and not deal with employees and their issues. That's complex business. That's hard work. That's long-term stuff. But if I can manipulate the value of the stock over the next 30, 60, 90 days, as a CEO, I can make myself look pretty good, can't I?
Sure. Yeah, no, the government for sure doesn't make it easy to mm-hmm. focus on the workers or the employees.
Mm-hmm. No. But there's some other long-term trends here that I suspect here. One, and I mentioned this to you just as we were going on the air, this practice is stemming from the 1980s, and they refer to the 80s in the article. That's also about the time that personal computers started mm-hmm. to gain a foothold in the lives of everybody, making it easy to handle your own investments, for example,
yep.
to trade shares, to work in the market. It got us concerned with data and technology, and maybe those computers there's so many things here. I'm going to confuse you with this, but also over at internetmonk.com this week, they've got a series of essays from Wendell Berry, the farmer philosopher of Kentucky, right. teacher and author. He's talking about the separation of people from the land and the basic principles and natural cycles that make us human.
Mm.
And he's talking about things getting in the way, computers, data, cell phones, all that seems yeah. to take us one more step away from that and set us up for this kind of an environment. Would you agree or disagree?
Yeah, similar type of concept.
Mm-hmm.
You're basically eliminating a crucial part of the natural process.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in business, it's the people are the most important,
mm-hmm.
in the process. And something I'm challenging the folks I'm working with, the families, is like, what are your investments supporting, and are they in line with your values and so forth? And really take a look under the hood and what are these companies, vision, and what do they want to achieve? And a lot of us don't really even think about it. We just have a retirement portfolio and it's diversified, but we don't really know what is this. Supporting or doing,
David. This is intriguing. What were we talking about with Doug Greenwald yesterday? mission statements, defining mission and purpose.
Well, and what you just said about what you do is not what has caused the division, has not brought about Brexit, has not caused more of the experts making more of the money to the detriment of workers. You're talking to people who have money who are going to invest it. I mean, you're on the right end of the spear. You're talking to people. I mean, when I go to the doctor, I mean, I happen to have the same doctor I've had for the last 3 years. Yeah. Most people are not like that. Most people get assigned a doctor. I mean, if they're a member of, and then when they go to the doctor that they don't know, somebody else pays the bill.
Yeah.
So we're separate from the provider of the service that we're buying. And we're getting more and more separate all the time. Now, the further separation there is, the more either the doctor can charge or has to charge because he has to other things that he has to pay for. So I never see the bill. Why should I care?
Yeah.
Why do I care if he's going to charge me $1 zillion for a hangnail?
Mm-hmm.
But if you're a couple that's coming to you, looking you in the face, and you're going to look across the table and say, well, this product's only worth about $1.50, but I'm going to charge you $4,000. They're going to get up and walk out of the building.
Yeah.
But my doctor can do that because he's four separations away from me. I don't pay him.
Yeah.
That's the basic problem. That's the basic separation. And if we look and if we can look at the people we're buying stuff from, we'd never pay that.
Well, see, it's about people and relationships, which
you're right. I think the similar thing as that's happening in the medical field is happening in an investment world where the investors are not, they're not in proximity to the process.
So there's a computer in between.
There's the computer, and they're focused on their rate of return, their financial rate of return. They mm-hmm. don't care if they're using sweatshops in Pakistan mm-hmm. or whatever,
exactly.
or if they're having morally corrupt leaders. They're just looking at their statements. Okay, how much did I squeeze out of this portfolio last mm-hmm. month?
Right.
Well, so, Gisli, I know that you barely remember the 80s. You were just a wee lad back then.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you from memory, there were more airlines back then. There were more banks back then, community banks. There were more TV and radio stations. There were far more newspapers than there are now. This thing called consolidation has been to please stockholders. And I have nothing against stockholders. There's bazillions of them across the country trying to make their fortune that way, and investing is a good thing. Yeah. But not when companies take the focus off their product and off their people. And apparently that's what this article is saying here.
Why do you think this all started then? Do you think it's technology that's driven it?
I think it's a combination of things. I think at base it's a spiritual problem.
Mm.
I really think it is. And I don't blame it on capitalism. I mean, capitalism is a hero in this, but it's being badly abused. And there are some very powerful business interests who collude with government to manipulate things to their own advantage. And it's not about people coming to work every day and cranking out product or providing services to customers.
Hmm.
Here's the base of the problem. And Jim, you've kind of nibbled around the edge of it. In fact, you actually said it out loud. But you know, I remember from the olden days of being a motivational speaker. I did it for about a minute and a half, and one of the speeches we had was we all listened to the same radio station, WIIFM. What's in it for me? And that's our motivation. That's our driving. We don't think about the other people. We don't think about our spirituality. We don't think that God owns our stuff and it's on loan to us. Mm-hmm. We think about what's in it for me. How can I make more money? How can I have a better life? And there's, you know, on the face of that, there's nothing wrong with that because that's the way we're built. I mean, we had the discussion earlier this week with Don, and I suggested that perhaps this notion of predestination, because of all the genetics working together so well to form this human being that we are, and that predestination seems like it's kind of a workable deal, kind of a, you know, very, has more credence than I at one time thought. And that's that we're in the same spot with people who have figured out how to make money better and how to make it faster. The movie The Big Short is an extremely good example. I mean, you know, big banks figured out that if you force people to buy homes that can't afford it, and you loan them lots of money, and then they go out and refinance every 6 months while the price goes up, which is a self-fulfilling prophecy. You go out and you pay more for the house than it's worth. Yeah, the market's going to go up. That's the way the market works.
Mm-hmm.
You get 15,000 people doing that. By golly, the market's going to work that way until it gets to a point where it won't sustain itself anymore. And then everything goes crashing down. But but Jim, you're right. I mean, the base of it is we're all in it for ourselves.
Selfishness, basically. It's lack of the golden rule and lack of compassion. Mm-hmm.
Well, if you're out of contact with people, that happens. You tend to get numb. You get detached, and you don't know how to react anymore. And that's why community is so important. It's in church, in business, in day-to-day life. It's why family is so important. SAS has a comment in our chat window this morning. I'll read it to you. It says, Orwell wrote about SOMA, S-O-M-A, that kept the proletariat distracted from government. We have the flat screen. Tablets, phones, PCs, etc. If you've not been around a kid on an iPad, you cannot believe how lost in the device they become. He says, I go on the subway. He lives in New York, by the way. I go on the subway, and I see about 90% of everyone on a flat screen. The other 10% are winos and addicts, as are the flat screeners.
Right.
And he ends it with a smiley face, so he's joshing a little bit, but he's not far off. People would rather look at their flat screens in their hands than talk with the person walking by.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They'd rather answer a phone than deal with the customer in front of them.
Yeah.
Now, the phone call has more urgency. There's all these different factors working to create an angry bunch of people that this article refers to as the precariat. Precarious and proletariat, the two words combined, and they're angry. Wendell Berry talks about being stuck in the middle in his essay today, that we're neither liberal or conservative. There's a whole bunch of people in the middle that don't want to be labeled one or the other. They may have philosophies that are liberal or conservative, but there are a lot of other concerns too. And to have to go to one extreme or the other to vote for somebody is not something they relish, and they're angry about it.
All right.
But back to Eventide. What are these guys going to do with this information?
They are trying to gonna support companies that are thinking about their people.
Okay.
So they're going to investor money. A significant chunk. I don't know how much they're managing, but significant money. And so they invest in companies that have folks with a biblical worldview and that want to do well, not only make money, but do well in society and treat their workers well.
And to do well long term, which takes happy people,
and
happy,
still,
productive
and
people.
Still make a great rate of return for shareholders.
Sure. Well, that's the way to do it, is to be profitable in your company, not just to dress up the bottom line by finagling numbers, creative accounting, and so forth. I've heard it said this way on a number of occasions, too. When the bean counters are in charge, we're in trouble.
Yeah.
Now, that's kind of a slam on accountants, but and it may be a little unfair, but not that far off the mark. We've seen it happen in media. When the business guys get a hold of a radio station, the idea is, well, you get rid of all that local talent because they just cost money. You automate. You institute a management system. You hire a manager over several stations. And there's an interesting, David, you'll be interested. I just discovered this the other day. You've heard of iHeartRadio?
Sure.
That's Clear Channel.
Really?
Clear Channel has morphed into iHeartRadio. Clear Channel was a company that was buying up radio stations, all thousands of them, all across the country, and letting the talent go and automating and putting in their own system, their own music, trying to make it all uniform and ignoring the fact that radio is a people business.
Right.
And they ran into trouble. And so they have morphed, among other things, into iHeart, which is an automated music service on the Internet. And they're not helping people here. But that's what they become. They become a robot.
Yeah. Interesting. But I think there's a little bit of a hope among the young folks. I think there's a lot of studies that show that folks are not going for the big salaries anymore, and they're not going for the big comp. They want to invest themselves in something that's meaningful, something that makes a difference. So I think if we create businesses and companies that have a long-term vision to make a difference and do something good, I think people will get on board.
Well, but we're so conditioned to expect rapid results, quick solutions, instant gratification. Can we put into put a plan where we elect the right people and get the right ideas generated in within government and within the business leadership so that in 30 years we're good again?
Right.
You know, are we capable of thinking long term anymore, I guess, is the question.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and I wonder if we're swimming upstream.
Is anybody planting trees anymore? There's a good indication.
we're fighting. We want to change the reason behind this, but the reason behind this, like Pogo used to say, "I've met the enemy, and he is us."
Mm-hmm.
We're the ones that are causing the change.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you know, when Monica Bill decided to, you know, pass the, or I think it was Jimmy Carter, 1973 Reinvestment Act, or Property Reinvestment Act, to authorize people that couldn't afford to buy a house to give them money, make sure you give them money, Mr. Bank, and get out there, and we don't care if they can't pay it back all that
much. I thought that was the Clintons in the 90s, but maybe not, huh?
1973.
No, that's before Carter.
1973?
Yeah.
He was elected in 71.
No, Nixon.
Oh, 77. There okay, you go. 73 was Richard Nixon.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to have to look up Community Reinvestment Act. Oh,
yeah.
Man. Oh, yeah. I said, Jim has discovered that the easiest thing to do in the world is to distract me. Well, I mean, it's a piece of cake.
Absolutely. Oh, don't say piece of cake, because if you say food, he goes totally off the deep end.
Then say, you know, I had a really good piece of cake the other night.
Stop it. I made this dessert. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Community Reinvestment Act. That should be easy to find on there.
All right.
Real quick.
I'm looking it up. Looking it up now. Okay. There it is. Mm-hmm. And what's even worse? It's 1977.
Okay. So it wasn't Carter then.
So it was Jimmy Carter.
He was brand new president then.
Yep. Mm-hmm. He'd just been able to get in and do his dastardly.
Mm-hmm.
There he is. Yep.
Yeah.
Designed to encourage commercial banks and savings associations to help meet the needs of borrowers in all segments of the communities, including low and moderate income neighborhoods. So that's a nice way of saying try to find people that don't have any money and make sure they get into houses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know,
another symptom of this is the way we treat workers' pension. You know,
mm-hmm.
It used to be that companies would give a defined benefit plan. You know,
mm-hmm.
Basically you take care of your employees for life, and that's all gone now. And now it's take care of yourself. And yes, if you want to invest, we'll set up a 401k and let you do it. But it's all on your own dime.
Yeah, I was part of a company that David worked for, a radio station here, that instituted 401ks for all the employees. We said, oh boy, this is good. And we all started putting money into it until, I guess, through some regulation, we reached a point, a balance in the account, that the company had to start matching it. And then they killed the plan. No, this is done, guys.
That's right. Yeah, I think it was $2,000 now that I think about it. I'm trying to remember the numbers, but I think it was if you put in more than $2,000, the company had to match them. They would match anything over $2,000 a year. And it's companies that, these people don't have $2,000.
Yeah.
Dave, where'd you get that money? Hey, what? Are you robbing banks part time? What's the deal?
Well, I've got to recommend this article. It's at eventidefunds.com. And there's a link in the chat window. You might have to scroll up in the chat window a little bit. You'll find that there. It's also on our Broken Road Radio Facebook page from yesterday. We've had some people interested in this article. And if you get to it, share it. I think this is information that needs to get spread around as rapidly as possible. And a lot of things on the internet reach millions of people in no time at all. This should, for serious thinkers, I think you want to read this and analyze it, weigh it yourself. And it might help explain why Brexit, why Bernie Sanders, and why Donald Trump? Because there's a lot of people asking why. And the precariat may be the reason. There's a whole lot of people out there, regardless of whether they're liberals or conservatives, that are simply unhappy with the status quo and they're bound to change it.
Yeah.
And they just may, this election. And it's maybe another reason why they're looking for an outsider, whether it's a Bernie Sanders or a Donald Trump. Somebody help us. Somebody get us out of this rut, is what they're saying. So... Interesting stuff.
The I skimmed the last half of it of the article. Do they suggest a solution?
It's basically going back to being less selfish and care about your workers and create businesses that has a good influence on society. So it's pretty simple.
It's kind of looking in the rearview mirror and saying we should go back to that. I went to the movie called Climate Hustle last night in down in the cities, and the solutions that have been suggested by those who think that we're going to have boiling oceans in any day now. The only way to solve this is to reduce carbon emissions back to the point where we would be living in the same, we would be spewing out carbon at the same rate that the people in 1910 did in this country. And that would, you know, then there were 93 million people that lived in that time in the United States. By the time that the plan was supposed to be put in place, there'd be something like 400 million people. So 400 million people have to reduce their carbon output by, you know, multiples. I mean, and, you know,
going back to a much smaller population.
Well, I mean, you know, a couple people were honest enough to say, we just got too many people.
Yeah.
Well, no, that's not the case. We have just the right amount of people. We don't have too many people. If we believe in a creator and somebody who's got his hands on the throttle, we don't have too many people, and we're fine. Everything is fine. We know that the creator is protecting us and guiding us along. Meanwhile, there's some folks that are trying to make a buck, and they're selling a message.
Yeah. We need a transformation of the heart, I think, is the key. I think
that would solve so many things, wouldn't it?
You know, Jim and I, we've talked about this before. It seems like the notion I've forgotten the term now, or the term just, did you see that term float out of my forehead?
Like a little gray cloud that just
went, you saw it.
Yeah.
You saw it. It was right there, and it just kind of blip, 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 blip,
I think instead of what's in it for me, we need to ask, what did Jesus do? And maybe think about, maybe we can do similar things.
So. Yeah, study what Jesus said about the kingdom, about his kingdom. That's the real message in the Bible, above and beyond your personal salvation. The real message is, what's the nature of this kingdom that he brought to us?
Right.
And how much of it are we able to handle right here and now?
Yeah.
You know, there's the gist of it. And Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are maybe the best guides for any of this there.
These guys, how are they doing?
Good.
Even good.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah, okay. They're finding a response then to their message.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think people understand this intuitively. I think you can get confused with all the computers and the flat screens and the schedules and the busyness and so forth. But in a quiet moment, this just feels right.
Yeah.
It feels accurate.
Yeah. Are they better? Are they going to be able to match outcomes with like a company like Morningstar?
Morningstar is more of a, you know, analytical firm that, you know, screens companies and mutual funds. So that's a little bit of a different.
Or how about an index fund? I mean, just pick one. I mean, they're selecting their own companies, right?
Yeah, well, they are similar to Vanguard is an index fund that are particular. For example, they have a U.S. small business index fund. And so what the Eventide, instead of capturing all the companies within the U.S. small business, they're looking at, okay, who are the few companies within the U.S. small business sectors that have a long-term vision with a biblical worldview that will do good?
Okay.
And they are cherry-picking selective companies instead of capturing everything.
Do they go out and interview these people?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah, yeah.
This is quality, not quantity, then, is what it is. Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah.
Boy, that's a kind of a new
concept, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
Oh, it's a relationship business. So they're particular. These guys came out of Harvard and healthcare, so they're particularly knowledgeable in the healthcare sector. Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. We could use their expertise then in this situation today. So again, we recommend reading this article and sharing it. Interested in your reaction to it in our chat window or on our Facebook page, or just that you curious to know what you think about this, because I think and again, his last name is Tim
Weinholt.
Weinholt, okay, the author of this, and Business Brexit and the Precariat, the name he's applying to this new, well, not new, but this developing class of voter with a real axe to grind, and maybe a justification for their anger, their resentment, and their desire to initiate some real change here.
I'm trying to think. Marie Le Pen has said that she's in France. She's going to win the election next year, and she's going to pull France out of the European Union.
Could be interesting.
And that will be interesting if this trend continues.
Yeah, fascinating year ahead here. Yeah. Okay. Well, Gisela, have a great week. And maybe we can even talk to somebody from Eventide. Maybe you can see if that's a possibility. But in any event, great topic today. And thank you for bringing this to our attention. Have a great week.
Tim.
Okay?
Tim would be good to talk to.
Yeah. That's a possibility.
Thanks, Gisela.
Bye-bye, Gisela.
Bye. For now.